Opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the respective program contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
All right, and welcome everybody to our Sunday morning business session. This is Gabe Griffith, CCB president, presiding this morning. And we've made it through the last roughly 3 days of convention, and here we are coming down the final stretch. So this morning we've got some minutes and treasurer's report and resolutions and a couple of other reports. So welcome in everyone, but we've got a bunch of these to give away this morning. So Lisa, what do you say we get started with a door prize today? Kick things off.
You're putting me to work early.
That's right. I figured you're here. You'd as well do something, right?
So we're going to do a $25 Amazon gift card given by the ACB Capital Chapter. And the winner is Donald Queen.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Donald.
Very nice.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a reoccurring phrase.
Congratulations, Donald.
I think that's going to be my phrase that I go away from here with this week.
Yes. Yeah. Not can you hear me now, but I know that guy.
Right. I know that guy. I know her. I don't yet see Linda on, and our first item is the minutes, but we do have them recorded, so let's go ahead and even though unfortunately I don't see Linda on here this morning, but let's go ahead and play the minutes and then we'll
see
if there's any comments on those. I'd really like to get moving with the meeting. We know that Zoom sent out a reminder, and we know that there's some confusion. We're dealing with it. So thanks, everybody.
All right.
Guillermo.
I'm ready when you are. And if you don't hear sound, please let me know.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Hold on a moment, Guillermo. Linda, are you with us? There you are.
Yes, it was wading through 17 Zoom emails until I found the one that actually made it work. Anyway, we'll be talking about that at convention review. Anyway, hi guys. Were you waiting for me to start first, or?
No. Well. We had started to we were going to do minutes here, and we saw that you were not on, and then there were people that were pointing out some stuff with the Zoom reminders morning or what have you. So.
I was in good company then. Good. Cachet had the same problem last night. She couldn't get in, which was sad. Anyway,
all right. Well, do you have anything to say about the minutes, or would you like us to go ahead and play them?
Thank you, David and Larry, for your last minute saving of this lady's reputation. And let's hear the minutes. What time did we start today, by the way? Thank you for that.
9:00.
Thank you.
All right. And let's try this again.
California Council of the Blind Convention 2021 meeting minutes, April 22nd to 25th, 2021. President Gabe Griffith opened the 2021 CCB convention on Thursday, April 22nd at 6:04 p.m. A motion to adopt the 2021 convention standing rules was moved, seconded, and passed unanimously. The first reading of a proposed change in the bylaws regarding the establishment of new CCB affiliates was presented. Frank Welty, Credentials Committee Chair, presented the credentials report. Frank then moved and Rob Turner seconded the motion to accept the credentials report. The motion passed unanimously. The meeting adjourned at 9:20 p.m. April 24th, 2021. The convention resumed on Saturday at around 9 o'clock a.m. Elections were held and the following board members were elected by acclamation. Sarah Harris, first vice president. Linda Perrell, secretary. Steve Bauer, director. Christy Crespin, director. Stephanie Watts, director. Penny Valdovinos, director. In a contested election with Warren Cushman, Nellie Emerson was then elected to the remaining director position by majority vote. April 25th, 2021. The convention resumed on Sunday at around 9 o'clock a.m. The 2020 convention business meeting minutes were read. After a discussion about removing identifying account numbers from the reference to the treasurer's report, the motion to accept the minutes was moved, seconded, and passed unanimously. Newell Perry Report. Mitch Pomerantz, chair of the Newell Perry Trust Committee, presented the committee's report. He began by thanking his fellow trustees, Margaret Buckman Garcia and Richard Rueda. The report covered the period from January 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2021. The beginning balance was $143,372.23. The ending balance was $149,619.66, representing an increase of $6,246.36. At the same time in 2020, the fund had $102,520.56. It grew by $47,098.10 in the past year. Fortunately, CCB found other revenue sources for this past year, allowing the fund to move in the direction of its earlier high point of $260,000. That concluded Mitch's report. Lisa Presley Thomas, CCB Treasurer, presented the 2021 Treasurer's Report. A motion to accept the Treasurer's Report as read was moved, seconded, and passed unanimously. The Treasurer's Report is appended in full at the end of these meeting minutes. Reader's note, the full Treasurer's Report will not be included in this recording. End of reader's note. Second reading of proposed bylaw. The proposed bylaw was read again and after discussion was referred back to the bylaws committee. Resolutions. The following resolutions for 2021 were read and adopted. 2021-01, mandatory disability awareness training for healthcare workers. 2021-02, translation project. Resolutions 2021-03, 2021-04, and 2021-05 were withdrawn. 2021-06, Apple updates. 2021-07, inaccessibility of Pentair pool and spa apps. 2021-08, voices for public transportation. 2021-09, equity in law enforcement training standards. 2021-10, addressing allegations of sexual assault, harassment, and abuse at blindness training centers. 2021-11, California Arts Council blind and low vision artists. 2021-12, California Arts Council grants portal accessibility. 2021-13, pandemic response. 2021-14, law enforcement tracking data collection involving people with disabilities. 2021-15, convention thank you. 2021-16, Appreciation for Volunteers. The resolutions committee report was then accepted. The convention adjourned at 2 o'clock p.m.
All right. Thank you, David, for reading those. Do we have a motion for the minutes?
So moved.
Will they be accepted?
I think I heard Guillermo just a half second before Larry.
I heard Rob, too.
And I'll second.
I'm sorry. So voiceover was interrupting here. Who moved to second it?
I believe I heard Guillermo, and okay. Then I think Rob seconded.
Okay, thank you.
And at this time, are there any, is there any discussion on these minutes? So if you have any discussion.
Yes, Linda.
Go ahead, Linda.
I forgot to put in, Frank also did the nominating committee report on Thursday night. So I'll need to add that.
Okay, so we'll add that. Any other comments or questions from anyone? If you do, go ahead and raise your hand at this time.
Ending in 388, you should be able to unmute.
This is Mitch Pomerantz, just letting everybody know I'm here.
Ah, thanks, Mitch. Appreciate mm-hmm. it. Okay. I was going to check after we're done with the minutes and make sure you were here. So, am I correct? There was no hands up at this time?
At this time, yes, correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So we have a motion and a second. And so what we're doing is that if you object to this, then go ahead and raise your hand. And if we don't have 10 hands or more go up, then we will declare the minutes passed with the amendment of adding in the nominating report. So we'll give it 20 or 30 seconds here. So Andrew, if you can keep an eye and see if any hands go up. So at this time, only put your hand up if you object to the motion of passing or adopting the minutes, accepting the minutes. Do we have any hands going up?
No hands at the moment.
Okay, we'll give it a couple more seconds. And still no hands?
No.
Okay, then we will declare the motion passed. Thank you again for those minutes. Now, Lisa, we'd like to bring you on at this time to do something other than giving away money. We'd like you to bring you on to talk about money and give our treasurer's report. Because you do a lot more around here than give away door prizes, right?
I was going to say, this is the time where I actually get to do my real job.
We're going to bring out our treasurer to actually do treasurer stuff.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you have your coffee ready and that I don't put you to sleep for the next 30 minutes or so. This is California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention 2022. Report on CDs, brokerage, and checking accounts as of May 15th, 2022. Account balances are as current as possible, and when prior year ending value is referenced, prior year refers to financial reports read at convention 2021 for period ending March 31, 2021, and dated April 25, 2021. FISN investment account Menino scholarship restricted for the period April 1, 2022 to April 30, 2022. Interest for money markets 0.01%. Beginning value $46,090.54. Additions and withdrawals 0.24 cents. Taxable income year to date, $577.75. Taxes, fees, and expenses, zero. change in investment value, negative $2,186.75. Ending value as of 4/30/22, $43,904.03. Prior year ending value year to date, $45,329.93. Difference, negative $1,425.90. Maturity date for this account, fully matured, currently all cash. Chase CCB Scholarship Business Accounts. For the period April 1, 2022 to April 30, 2022. Beginning balance, $8,056.24. Deposits and other credits, zero. Withdrawals and other debits, zero. Ending balance, $8,056.24. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022. $8,056.24. CCB Scholarship Savings Account, closed. All funds transferred to the checking per board approval. Charles Schwab, Ellen Murphy Fund, restricted. Securities Account for the period March 1, 2022 to March 31, 2022. Total beginning value, $186,167.02. Net debits, credits, and transfers, $111.11. Change in value of investments, March 1 through March 31, 2022, negative $1,810.26. Change in value year to date, negative $7,298.76. Total ending value as of 3/31/2022 includes accrued interest, $184,356.77. Account value at 3/31/2022, $184,356.77. Ellen Murphy, Charles Schwab, cash and cash investments account for the period March 1, 2022 to March 31, 2022. Total beginning value, $17,346.49. Net debits, credits, and transfers, 13 cents. Change in value of investments, March 1 through March 31, 2022, zero. I'm hearing some background noise. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We do.
Okay. Change in value of investments year to date, zero. Total ending value at 3/31/2022 includes accrued interest, $17,346.62. Account value at 3/31/2022, $17,346.62. Total value of Ellen Murphy Fund accounts as of March 31, 2022, $201,703.39. Prior year total ending value year to date, $207,583.96. Difference is negative $5,880.57. I'm going to skip the Nilperi Trust because Mr. Mitch will be handling that portion. Lily Perry Foundation Funds, Merrill Lynch Securities Account Restricted for the period April 1 through April 29, 2022. Total beginning value includes accrued interest, $261,244.91. Net debits, credits, transfers, negative $149.71. Change in value April 1 through April 29, 2022, negative $10,494.86. Change in value January 1, 2022 to April 29, 2022, negative $5,248.51. Total ending value at 4/29/2022 includes accrued interest, $250,600.34. Prior year ending value year to date, $255,998.91. Difference, negative $5,398.57. B of A Business Advantage Cash Account Restricted for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Account opened April 14, 2021. Interest rate currently is zero APY. Beginning balance, $13,135.91. Interest paid this period, zero. Interest paid year to date, zero. Ending balance, $13,135.91. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $13,135.91. Bank of America Business Checking and Investment Accounts. CCB General Checking Account for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Beginning balance, $100,133.72. Deposits and other credits, $1,327.25. Withdrawals and other debits, negative $4,469.41. Checks, negative $10,642.18. Service fees, zero. Ending balance as of 3/31/2022, $86,349.38. Current balance, I'm sorry, I just said that wrong. Let me repeat that. Ending balance at 4/30/2022 is $86,349.38. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $81,952.32. Fogarty Scholarship Account for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Interest rate currently 0.02% APY. Beginning balance $200.33. Interest paid this period zero. Interest paid year to date, zero. Ending balance, $200.33. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $200.33. CEA Loan Fund Account for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Interest rate, 0.02% APY. Beginning balance, $520.80. Interest paid this period, zero. Interest paid year to date, zero. Ending balance, $520.80. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $520.80. Life membership, 7-month CD, account opened August 15th, 2007. Renewal notice for 7-month featured CD dated March 2nd, 2022. New term, 7 months. New maturity date, October 22nd, 2022. New interest rate, 0.03%. New annual percentage yield, 0.03%. Interest paid year to date, 28 cents. Current value as of May 15th, 2022. $2,886.98. Lopez scholarship account for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Interest rate, 0.0% APY. Beginning balance, $139.97. Interest paid this period, zero. Interest paid year to date, zero. Ending balance, $139.97. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $139.97. Crisis committee account for the period April 1 through April 30, 2022. Interest rate, 0.01% APY. Beginning balance, $845.16. Interest paid this period, 1 cent. Interest paid year to date, 4 cents. Ending balance, $845.17. Current balance as of May 15, 2022, $845.17. On the move for the period April 1, 2022 to April 30, 2022. Account open November 23rd, 2020. Interest rate 0.01% APY. Beginning balance $7,044.84. Interest paid this period, zero. Interest paid year to date, zero. Ending balance $7,044.84. Current balance as of May 15th, 2022, $7,044.84. Summary. Current assets. Cash, cash equivalents, stock, marketable securities, etc. $760,145.15. Accounts receivable, prepaid liabilities, inventory, etc. $117,271. Total current assets, $877,416.15. Restricted, $668,261.01. Unrestricted, $209.155.14. Current liabilities. Total current liabilities assumed unrestricted as of May 15, 2022, $127,271. Net assets, $750,145.15. Prepared May 10th, 2022. Revised May 15th, 2022. Read at CCB 2022 Conference and Convention, May 15th, 2022. And that concludes the Treasurer's financial reports for this year.
Thank you, Lisa. And before I ask for a motion here, I just want to go back. Could you reread the number for the unrestricted funds? I think you said 209.
Yes, she did.
Something.
I heard it too.
Total current unrestricted assets, $209,155.14.
Okay. Yeah, I figured it said $209 and something. I just wanted to make sure we had that right. So, or maybe I heard it wrong. I don't know. But either way, I wanted to make sure I heard it.
I might have jumbled my words.
I just wanted to make sure I heard it right. So,
it's a dirty Sunday morning.
It is. It is. So, okay. Well, thank you for that. A lot of numbers. So definitely thanks for giving us all of that stuff. Do we have a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
So moved.
Larry got in there. So second. Moves. I heard a multitude of seconds, but I think I heard Andrea first. Are there any questions or comments on the treasurer's report before
we have a raised hand, Gabe?
All right.
Margie, it's Margie. Raised hand.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on, just
let's unmute Margie.
It sounds like. Am I here now?
Yes, ma'am.
You're here now.
Jeez, I don't know what's going on here. Okay, we'll try it again. First, I want to commend Lisa on such a wonderful and thorough treasurer's report. I know you've been doing this since you became our treasurer, but it just is so wonderful to hear all of our financial details. For years, we never got that information. So I want to commend you, Lisa, and your work. So thank you. I do have a question. It was back in the very beginning, and I believe the category was taxable income of $500 and something. Am I correct there first, Lisa?
Or
fundraising income?
No, there's no fundraising income that's reported. This report is a recap of basically our total assets and liabilities. It does not reflect any certain revenue stream or any taxable income in any part of the report. It just basically reports the value, cash value of each of our investment accounts, and then basically what cash is currently on hand to be used at any time.
Can you go back to the beginning? And maybe I heard it incorrectly.
Okay.
And it's not because it's early, it's late for me. There was a $500 something mentioned.
Yeah, I think I heard it too. It was, I think you did say something about taxable income, and I thought it was around 500 and something.
Well, if I said that, that's completely wrong. My apologies. There is an account that we have, which is a CEA loan fund account. That current balance is $520.80. Taxable income. Sorry, my brain might not have switched gears from taxes to finances. So.
Welcome to the human race. We all make mistakes. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Margie.
And tax season, you live that for too many months there, right?
I live it every day of my life, Gabe.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any other hands up, Andrea?
No, not at the moment.
No other hands up. All right. So if there's no other hands up, we do have a motion and a second to accept the report. So almost said all in favor, say aye. I'm so used to doing that. So at this time, if you object to the motion, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hand down for now. And if we don't have 10 hands go up in the next 20 or 30 seconds, then we will declare this motion passed.
No so hands.
If you could keep an eye and let us know if there's any hands that go up.
Yes. Dave, can I add one last thing? Sorry. One thing that I did yesterday was kind of pulled a first quarter budgeted analysis of kind of where we're sitting at right now, based on our approved 2022 budget, and we are basically on course. We have utilized 35% of our budgeted target for expenses, and we have brought in 36% of our budgeted target for revenue. So for the first quarter, we are almost 100% on track for what we budgeted back in January of 2022, both on the and expense side.
Sounds good. All right. And are we still with no hands up, Andrea?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we will declare that motion passed. Lisa, again, thank you for that wonderful treasurer's report. And before we bring Mitch on for the Newell Perry report, since you're here, would you like to give away another door prize?
Yeah, let's do it.
As a reward for doing such a great treasurer's report.
We're going to do another $25 Amazon gift card provided by the Fresno chapter.
All right.
And a Fresno member just won, Olivia Ostergaard.
All right.
I know her.
I know her too.
Yay.
All right. So congratulations, Livy.
Okay, Livy has her hand up, but I think it's just to let us know she's here.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Let's give her a quick minute. I know she keeps putting her hand up, so let's see what she wants. Let's see what she has for us.
Just wanted to say thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for being here throughout the whole convention.
Thank you much.
All right, and Mitch, if you could raise your hand, I think he's a 626 phone number.
I got him.
All right. So at this time, we're going to bring on Mitch Pomerantz, who is the chair of our Newell Perry Trust. And he'll give us a report on where the Newell Perry Trust stands. I'm sure he'll comment on this, but I'm happy to say that we went another year without having to pull from that fund, huh, Mitch?
Absolutely. And having just heard the treasurer's report compared to where CCB was just a few short years ago, we've made a wonderful turnaround, and I'm really pleased to hear that. So good morning to you, President Griffith, to the ACB Board of Directors, and to the members listening, both from California and those who are listening nationally. Hopefully our neighbors who, we have new neighbors moving in, and they have decided periodically to pound on the wall to hang pictures or whatever they're doing. Hopefully that won't be too much of a distraction.
Not hearing anything this now, will, so sorry.
Not now. this will serve as the report of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust to the Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind, as required by our bylaws. The trustees remain Margaret Butman Garcia, Richard Rueda, and me, Mitch Pomerantz, as chairperson. The three of us take our responsibilities as stewards of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust very seriously, and I want to publicly thank Margaret and Richard for their efforts over the past several years. We last reported to the membership at the April 2021 conference and convention and to the board of directors this past October. In April 2021, the trust stood at $149,618.66. That reporting period ended on March 31st of last year. Through March 31st of this year, the trust stands at $160,006.04, 1600604. And that's an increase of $10,387.38, or 6.9%. By comparison, when we last reported to the board in October, trust assets through September 30th were $157,814.08, 1578148. Since that report, trust assets have increased by $2,191.06, or 1.4%. It should be noted, however, that at the close of 2021, our portfolio was $168,164.15. So you can see that the markets experienced something of a downturn during the first quarter of this year. It does appear that things are on the upswing, relative to the Newell Perry portfolio, although parenthetically, perhaps not so much over the past couple of weeks. As I have done with previous reports, I want to thank Donna Andrews and her team at Morgan Stanley. They've done an outstanding job, not only of investing our investments, but of keeping Margaret, Richard, and myself in the loop, so to speak. So this concludes the Newell Perry report to the board of directors and members for the 2022 conference and convention of the California Council of the Blind. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. And I don't expect you to have this there, but I seem to recall that at one time, just a couple of years ago, the Newell Perry trust was down around about 102,000 or something. So
that's correct. That's correct, President Griffith. That was at a time when the organization needed our assistance, and we provided that on a couple of occasions.
Yeah. So good to see that it's, over the last couple of years has gone up a fair bit. Before we let you go, are there any questions for Mitch?
We have one hand, last three numbers, 405.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure I recognize that number.
I'm not sure who that is, but okay, you are unmuted.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Neihardt. With two questions. How and what instruments is the money being invested? And secondly, what expenditures have we made from the fund in the last year?
Well, Dirk, it's always good to talk to a fellow lion. The second question is the easiest. We have had no expenditures. So without the need to assist CCB, it's simply the markets that we are invested in. I don't have the specifics in front of us, but primarily a variety of mutual funds.
Thank you.
And yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Dirk, for the question. And Mitch, any other hands up?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We have one more. Ahead. Frank Vita. Whoever it is, probably Frank. You are unmuted, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Good morning, Mitch. Just as morning. A quick reference, if you happen to know off the top of your head, you don't need to go hunting this up, but during your tenure with the fund, what was the approximate high watermark as far as the value of the fund from as compared to where it is today?
I may have actually mentioned that. Hold on. I actually might be able to tell you. Let's see. That might be the high watermark. We have been well over $200,000, and I think...
Let Mitch, it seems to thing. Me we were at 230 at one point. I couldn't.
Yeah, I've on. I wanted to say.
Yeah, I've got all the figures. Yeah, I've got all the figures here. It was probably somewhere in that vicinity. Yes, yeah. 230, 240 in that range.
Good. Thanks, yeah. Mitch.
Mitch, this is Lisa. Yes. I do have the most recent Morgan Stanley report in front of me, and you are correct. I'm showing 99.72% of the investments are mutual funds for the Newell Perry Trust.
Ah, yes, that was what I thought. And I'm also, back to Frank's question, looking at my figures going back the last several years. We have been as high as 249,000. That was in 2014, I believe. In fact, I'm now looking again. In 2015, we're up over 250,000.
Okay. Then, as you had said, there were some lean years in CCB that we needed to get some assistance for various reasons. And I know the Newell Perry Fund, even going back to the 2014-15 area, helped with different things. So good to see that it's on its way back up, though.
Yes, sir, it is.
Any other hands up, Andrea?
Sorry, I had to cough, so I muted myself. No, there are no hands at this time. Thank you.
Okay. And I can never remember. Do we have a motion to accept this, or do we just enter it into the record?
If we need a motion, I'll make it that we accept the report.
Okay. Mitch or Jeff or somebody, can you help me just from a historical memory point of view? Do we usually?
Yeah, I think we've always made a motion.
I think so. Yes.
All right.
Second.
That's what I couldn't hear or couldn't remember. So we have a motion from Rob, a second from Steve. And I think we've had a period for questions. So this time, if you object to the motion, go ahead and raise your hand. Otherwise, in a few, we'll give it 20 or 30 seconds here. And if we don't have any hands up, then we will declare the motion passed. So Andrea, if you could help us an eye and see if there's any hands going up.
Yeah, no hands.
Give it another 10 seconds or so here.
And this is Sarah. I just want to pop in and tell Mitch thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday morning and bringing us the report. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I'm usually up this early, just not usually involved in a Zoom meeting, but I'm usually up this early, even on Sunday.
Well, at least it's May and not October, where you would have fantasy football teams to be observing, right?
Yeah, we better not ever move our conventions back to football season, because I've been playing fantasy football for over 40 years, and I'm already preparing for this season.
Well, hey, my baseball team started at 8:30 this morning. So, all right. So I haven't heard Andrea say that there's any hands up. So we have the motion passes. Mitch, thank you again for the
thank you. Take care, everyone.
The report, and as Sarah said, for hanging out with us on a Sunday morning.
Oh, Judy has her hand up. Wait, Judy has her hand raised. Hold on.
Okay. Hold on here a moment, Mitch. Let's see if it's a question for you on the report.
Okay, Judy, you should be good.
Okay.
There you are.
I was waiting till after the motion passed. I tried to get in after Lisa's report, but wouldn't you know, I got dumped. Anyhow, Lisa, I want to clarify something that was said last night. So all chapters know, just because of our financial situation now does not mean our chapters cannot give money to the mothership. You didn't clearly say that, and I want to make sure every chapter knows that they can, in fact, give money to us, and even those chapters who have their own 501c3, so long as they know that they can't make, that they can't deduct that on their taxes, or that they can't call it a charitable contribution. All chapters can donate to the scholarship fund, to any to the general fund. We would love the money. Keep it all coming. We're so pleased that chapters are interested in helping out. Make sure that you know that you can do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Judy. For the most part, what you just said is correct. There are, again, we do have to go over specifics with anybody who is wanting to help with expenses, which is why we would, obviously do it on a case-by-case basis. There is a difference between those chapters and affiliates that do hold their own tax exemption. But for the most part, correct.
All right.
We do have one more hand, and I believe it's Dirk. I think he's unmuted. There you go. You're good.
I'm thankful. Bravo, Judy, for that exhortation for all of us to make a sacrifice for CCB. Yes, individually and chapter level, and go get the grant for CCB. We can do it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Dirk. All right. Do we have any other hands up before we move on, Andrea?
One moment. Not at this time.
All right. So this time we are going to move forward to Steve Bauer to give a quick bylaws report for this morning.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Gabe. And hello, everybody. As I mentioned on Friday night, the bylaws committee has opted not to put any bylaws amendments forward this year. However, we do have a number of issues that we want to work on in the coming year, and I want to invite everybody again to be on the lookout for announcements of committee meetings, because we're going to be discussing a lot of things. We had an open meeting as actually the first event of this convention where members brought forth and discussed a lot of issues that we need to deal with. Just running over some really quickly that we had in the meeting, we talked about new affiliates and how they are brought onto the organization, requirements, things about online voting and the secret ballot, and lots of issues around technology and how to best use it and not to leave our members behind with the technology, member and board discipline, basically what is required for what types of majorities are required for different things. And basically, we need to set priorities for how we're going to deal with this, because as a couple of people have said, we're not going to do this all in one year. So our first meetings will be to discuss those priorities, and then we'll be holding meetings to kind of flesh out and figure out where we want to go. So I encourage everyone to please watch the CCBL list and the happenings. We'll be announcing these, you know, as we are, you know, going through and having these meetings to discuss all the priorities for next year, so we can start to work on our bylaws. So thanks to everybody who participated in the meeting that we had a few weeks ago, and I hope everybody can join us for future meetings. I want to thank all of our committee members, Gabe Griffith, Sarah Harris, Robert Wendt, Steve Mendelson. I had a list written down here and I can't find it, so I'm leaving somebody, Frank Welty. So thank you, everyone. And if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. But we'll be looking forward to moving on with this project once we all recover from convention.
David Jackson.
David Jackson, my God. Okay, how can I forget David? He worked on me with a lot of this stuff. So, okay. All right. That's all I have for this morning, Mr. President. Thank you.
All right. Never forget that guy. What was his name again? All right. Thanks, Steve. What do you say? I think we still have a couple of more here. So what do you say before we move to resolutions that, Lisa, you want to do another door prize?
Linda with a question.
Okay. Before we do a door prize, Linda with a question. Go ahead, Linda.
Just a little process question here. Since we have this new way of passing motions, should I say that a motion is passed without objection each time?
You could just say it was made motion second and carried.
Carried. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I see that a lot of places where they just put MSC for motion second carried.
Cool. Thank you.
Unless anyone overrules me on that. Lisa, are you there? Maybe I caught her at the 30 seconds that she was stepping away.
You have no hands. No, you have no hands.
Okay. I was just seeing if we could catch Lisa and give away some more money.
Yay.
It looks like Lisa might have stepped away, so we'll take a couple of breaks after or within resolutions. That way we're not doing them all at the end. I wanted to sprinkle them through here. So this time, let's go ahead. And Lisa, if you come back, go ahead and pop in during a resolution and we can give away a door prize or two. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
You're back. All right. Like I said, I have a habit of catching people right at the time that they're sneezing or stepping away for important things or whatever. So you want to give a door prize before we get into resolutions? Because I think we still have, by my count, maybe 4 or 5 of them to do.
We have quite a few. So
So let's maybe do one here, and then we'll do one in the middle of resolutions. And
okay. Why don't we do a $50 door prize?
Ooh, let's do it.
Let's go. And the winner is Warren Cushman. Congratulations, Warren.
Congratulations, Warren.
Hey.
Sarah, do you know that guy?
I know that guy. So much fun.
Has there been anyone here that Sarah hasn't known?
Yes, there was like only 2, though. Only 2.
Let's see here. I was going to say, that music does sound a little too cheerful for a Sunday morning, or too awake for a Sunday morning.
When I played it right now, I remembered, I should have changed it for Miss Pam. I'm going to keep looking, Miss Pam.
All right. So with that in mind, I'd like to bring on our co-chairs of resolutions, who I know both of them. Jeff Tom and Sarah Harris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, folks.
Well, you'll be glad to know, probably, that we don't have as many resolutions as last year. Now, some people might say that's too bad, but most people will probably say that's just as well. But we have some really meaty ones. We have 6 substantive resolutions and our 2 resolutions of thanks. So I guess we'll begin. And I want to thank you to our committee. And Sarah, you will remind me if I skipped anyone. Linda Perel, Robert Wendt, Steve Mendelson, Steve Bauer. Who did I miss?
Gene.
Well, no, I was going to say, we didn't need to thank ourselves, I guess. I missed you intentionally.
Did you say Gene Lozano?
Oh, I missed Gene. That's right. Gene. How did I do that? Oh, yeah, my gosh. Gene. Yeah.
And Gene, not me.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, right. No.
So, okay. And I want to thank Steve who helped us get these things recorded, Steve Bauer. So, are we ready, Sarah, to do the first one?
I think we're super ready.
I just want to say before I play this that, Jeff, thank you so much for being an easy edit.
Oh. Resolution 2022-1 is Amazon Disability Customer Support Line by Margie Donovan. Whereas millions of shoppers, including those who are blind or have low vision, purchase products online from Amazon. And whereas, much to Amazon's credit, they have established a disability customer support line, 888-283-1678, for people with disabilities to get assistance with, among other things, browsing their product line and obtaining detailed visual product descriptions. Whereas many Amazon Disability Support Line representatives do not provide adequate product descriptions, resulting in unwanted items being purchased and the inconvenience of making returns. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely on this 15th day of May 2022, that this organization urges Amazon to commence a dialogue with the American Council of the Blind to determine the best solutions to ensure that Amazon's disability customer support line will be staffed with personnel who can effectively provide accurate product descriptions for people who are blind or have low vision. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind's Resolutions Committee for action at its 2022 convention. So the committee recommends a do pass, and we don't need a second. So we so move.
All right. All right. Is there any? Are there any questions or comments on this resolution?
Yes. Give me a. Oh, we have a couple of raised hands, and give me just a second. Margie is one.
Oh, she is the maker. She is the. Okay.
Yeah, maker, she has her
so
hand
let's
up.
Her have her first. Sorry, I didn't mention that.
I'd like to just comment really quickly. This is Andrea, that having made fairly extensive use of that support line, I have had very good experiences by and large with their description and customer service. So I just want to say that. Hold on just a second. Okay, Margie, you should be unmuted. I can come back to her if you'd like.
Yeah, this.
Yeah, do we have another hand?
Yeah, we do.
Who else we have there?
Okay.
And Margie, if you get unmuted, go ahead and.
He's showing us unmuted, so I don't know. Roger.
Well, I should say if you figure out what's going on there, then go ahead and talk to us, Margie.
Okay, Roger, go for it.
Hi there. Morning, everybody. I just felt that I needed to say on behalf of Bernice that. She always said, as long as the people were from Kentucky or West Virginia, they were really good. well, for whatever that's worth. And the other thing I wanted to just mention is that sometime shortly after Bernice's death, I talked to one of the, someone called me from Amazon about something, one of the disability people. And I told him about her death, and he cried. So, just for whatever that's worth, thank you. Oh.
Thanks for sharing that, Roger.
Okay. So before we go, Kevin Berkery.
Yeah. Good morning. We only heard a portion of the whole thing. Maybe it's at our end. I don't know. But like all of a sudden, Jeff would go silent for. Few seconds at a time, couldn't hear a thing.
I bet it is. If you're listening on an app,
which I am,
probably the same thing on a computer, make sure to leave the Zoom screen in focus. If you leave the Zoom screen, you're not going to hear the stuff. We're playing these recordings by Guillermo's doing a screen share and playing them. So if you leave the Zoom app, you will not hear the stuff that is done over screen share, the recordings that are played.
Gabe,
Jeff, you learn something every day.
Gabe, would you like me to just read the resolves again?
Or I can play the whole resolution.
Well, yeah, you could.
It was a short resolution.
So. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I totally even forgot about that. We probably should have mentioned that throughout the thing. But
yeah.
Because I minimized it.
Yeah, no, we learned that, I think.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
A while back. So I think Guillermo and I ran into it on something.
How about if I read the resolve clauses? Yeah. I think that ought to explain. Basically, the important part of the whereas clauses was that it was asserted that in many instances, the customer support line personnel do not provide adequate detailed product descriptions and that this can result in unwanted purchases and the need for exchanges. So the resolves are as following. I'll skip the boilerplate. Resolve that this organization urges Amazon to commence a dialogue with the American Council of the Blind to determine the best solutions to ensure that Amazon's disability customer support line will be staffed with personnel who can effectively provide accurate product descriptions for people who are blind, or have low vision. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind's Resolutions Committee for action at its 2022 convention. Margie?
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with muting and unmuting. At any rate, Jeff had asked me after the committee met to kind of seek some input, and I put a post out on the ACB Facebook page, and someone else put it on the leadership list. I got a good amount of feedback. And I would say it was very mixed in terms of people who have wonderful, outstanding experiences and people who have had some of the same challenges as myself. So I say this because many of us have had very good experiences. And I think it just depends kind of who you get and what time of day you're calling and who's answering those phones. So I just want to say I continue to support this resolution and moving forward because of the feedback I got, and it isn't just my experience. So thank you, and I will now mute with the intention of hopefully being able to unmute again in the future.
All right. Thanks, Margie. Andrea, do we have any other hands?
We do.
How many?
Just one, Bob Acosta.
Just one. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, I assume you can hear me. I don't need a microphone.
You can, yeah.
Okay, a great resolution. But I wonder if the committee, and certainly the author here, should consider in the dialogue somewhere that they should be knowledgeable about screen readers. Because it's not just, are you assuming that everyone who calls the disability line is an expert in technology? I mean, MLB did, anyway, had a person who knew JAWS. You know, you get to him, you might have to wait a little to get to that blind guy who knew it. But they told you how to find the games. So I'm asking the committee, if you don't, it's okay. But I'd put it in the resolve, the dialogue area, to include knowledge of screen readers. I don't say everyone, but certain ones should. Thank you.
The only response I would have to that is that most of the products that people are ordering from Amazon don't really have any relationship to the use of a screen reader. So I don't know. But having said that, Bob, you know, if ACB is fortunate enough to commence this dialogue, if that seems to be an issue, that's certainly one of the issues that they could, you know, discuss.
Well, I'll show my ignorance. I don't know how to do it. That's why I have a reader, and I do it. But I'd love to order things. You know, I do it on Lexi. I get it.
Yeah, but it isn't a question of being able to, like, Margie can order the products through her screen reader.
But you're assuming that everyone has the knowledge that to order. To go up there. If you okay.
I see where you're going. I see where you're coming.
And I do not know how to do it.
Yeah,
I'd
no.
Say, where do I go find this? I want to get a radio because I love radios. I
yeah,
have 100 of them.
Yeah, no, I see where you're going with this. And thank certainly you.
Think about
Gay,
it. I don't want to mess up the resolution.
Yeah, Gay, we can
resolution.
Keep that in mind for.
Well, I was going to say, I think Jeff and I might be able to have a little bit of influence once this goes to ACB, because those resolves are going to change, obviously, for the ACB version of the resolution. So we can probably see about working something along those lines in there. You think, Jeff?
Sure. Bob, I didn't get your point.
Yeah, and I totally understand what he's saying. And I think, though, that just to remind folks that the intent was about the particular people that are, you know, helping to describe, helping to order. So it's more about the folks that are answering the phone versus the actual site or app.
This is Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Actually, Amazon says up front that they, you know, in fact, they, one of the things they will not do is put a product in your cart. So if you, you know, just like a sighted person that wouldn't have the computer skills, if you as a blind person don't have the computer skills, that's not what they're there to help you for. What they're there to help you for is if you have, you know, three shirts on your on your screen. And gee, do I want this one or this one or this one? Because I can't tell as a blind person, this one's blue, this one's green, you know, whatever. That's the kind of thing they're there to work on with you. But even when they're working with you, you have to be able to put the item in your cart. They will not do that for you. So I don't know how much value it would have to have those folks be aware of JAWS, because that's not what they're there to do. They're there to do offer descriptions to, you know, visual descriptions to folks who aren't able to see the products.
Anyone else?
Okay, Sheila, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just going to widen it from just screen readers and say assistive technology or access technology, because what I often get, not just from Amazon, but everywhere, is what's on the lower part of your screen. It's blue, it's white, it's green, it's red. It's like, click this, tap that. I'm like, and by the way, they will put it in your cart, but they won't make the order. So at least they do put it in your cart, but you then can look at it with your app. And mine is mostly screen reader accessible, and I can figure out what's in there and delete them or change them if I need to. So, but yeah, I think assistive access technology is good add.
Okay, Regina, you should be unmuted.
I am. So I did go and read their terms of service, and I'm not a lawyer. So, but I would ask someone to review it, because I believe it says that they're not responsible for if a product causes an issue. You know, it's like an indemnification clause. It's in there. I'm not sure if it applies to accessibility issues, but basically what I got from reading it is they're not responsible for what you buy, even if they help you. If I'm reading that wrong, someone can.
So this isn't, this doesn't indicate anything about their responsibility for what you buy. It just says that there's a causal relationship between an inaccurate detailed description and the product that you purchase. So I don't see that as a problem, Regina. Sarah, do you concur with that?
Yes, I do. Sorry, it took me a minute to hit my button there.
Okay, next we have Patty. You should be unmuted.
Okay, this resolution, it refers to detailed descriptions of the items, but I had an issue with, I wanted to send the material to a different address, and I was afraid that maybe they weren't allowed to do this, and the gentleman said he could and would, and he didn't. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm a Prime member and it has to be sent to my address because of the shipping regulations or something. But I because of it, I missed getting to send my little grandson a present when he had COVID. He's over COVID now, so I can bring it to him. But so does anybody know if addresses they have the authorization to do that, or was that an error? That
they do. I'm a Prime member. I do it all the time.
Yeah, I've had addresses added. They've added addresses for me, and I figured out how to do it myself, but they added them.
I couldn't do it. I kept trying and it would keep giving my home address. So anyway, would you want to add that? Just not, no, maybe not.
This is Gabe. I would say that's probably not something we could add in here, because they do say that they can put stuff in their cart, but they cannot, they can't complete the order for you.
Yeah.
So, they might have been able to even add an address onto your account, a shipping address on there. Okay. But when you're shipping, you would still have to select where you're sending it. So
when you add it to the cart.
And that adds to, I think, going back to Bob's comment of having them have some knowledge of assistive technology, in the sense of being able to tell you, okay, so it's in your cart, but you're going to have to blah, blah, blah at checkout. Like, you're going to have to change the address. I don't know. We're kind of in a pickle here. Lots of good information. And this is why, guys, we would love to have you come to our meetings when we're dropping these things.
And this is something, again, that, you know, we're going to be working with ACB. I'm the chair for the ACB Resolutions Committee. Jeff is on that committee. This is stuff maybe at this point I would say, these are great ideas, and Jeff and I are making note of it. And let's take this to the ACB Resolutions Committee to talk about what can be done at the ACB level. But they are good thoughts. But I think at this point I'd say we're probably going to be better served putting them into the, working towards them in the ACB version of the resolution.
And I do have a contact in Amazon, and I may just sort of run this thought by them just to see what their initial take would be. Mm-hmm. They don't work in this area, but
well, and the whole thing
we'll look into this.
And the big thing is just, ACB opening up a dialogue to see what can be, The first step is make sure that the people working on the phone line, are trying to give full and accurate descriptions. And then we can hopefully be able to move into some of these other types of issues.
And to ensure that possibly they know what colors, right?
and I'd like to be added to the queue, yeah. Gabe.
I know. Yeah, Rob is in the queue. We know Rob.
Okay. Margie still has her hand up, and I believe, Margie, you are unmuted. So
I think I am this time.
You did it.
I am.
Good job.
Did you want to take Rob before Margie to hear what?
That's fine. I'll be quiet. Take Rob.
Isn't it beautiful when technology actually works for you, Margie?
Yeah, it is.
No, I just wanted to say, I think these are great ideas, but I do think they sort of weaken the resolution in a sense that I would like, if we want a different resolution about knowledge of screen readers and access technology, I think that's a separate, I'd like to see that as a separate one. I think if we just make this specific to product descriptions, it's going to be a stronger resolution. That's it. Thanks.
Rob?
Margie, go for it.
I just want to say I'm a frequent shopper, and while I think Bob's point is well taken, this is not the mission of that line. The mission of that line as it currently stands, I'm not suggesting we don't submit a resolution in the future to expand that mission, but the mission is to help people with disabilities find the products they want because their website doesn't have very good descriptions, if any at all. And yes, they can put it in the cart for you. They cannot purchase it. They cannot change addresses. You do that all at the time of purchasing. And I happen to use Aira to make those purchases for me for a variety of reasons that I won't get into. I also want to say this resolution may not go in the direction we hope when it goes to ACB. One of the resolutions that's moving forward to ACB, and hopefully, Gabe, you got it, it was an Apple resolution, but we're moving it in a very different direction, and we are going to set up, or if this resolution passes, there's going to be a way for ACB members to regularly provide input via a forum. For companies such as Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and then because ACB staff has inside contacts and valuable contacts with most of these companies, we don't feel that it's appropriate to just kind of slam these companies and ruin our inside contacts. So we're going to be coming up with the internal process. That might be the time to add the fact that people might need screen reader help. But again, that is not part of what this line is for. It's just purely to help a shop. They can stick it in a cart, and then however we need to purchase it, if you know how to purchase things out of your cart, or you you know, get Ira or you get a friend, however you need to do it. She can purchase something that you regularly purchase on Alexa. And I hope that explains things. I think these are good ideas, but I don't think that they fit in this resolution. And I, too, would like to invite people to the Resolutions Committee, even though I'm not on it, because that would be the best time to bring up these additional thoughts and ideas to see if we want to work them in. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Margie. I think we're ready to call the question, are we not, Mr. President?
Linda has her hand up.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
I'm going to support that, Jeff. I am deeply impressed by the length and granularity of this discussion because it clearly shows what an important role Amazon plays in all of our lives. But I do think it's time to call the question.
Okay, so we have a couple of people having called the question. Only if you object to the motion to adopt this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, keep your hands down.
Yep. Okay, we have a couple hands. We have four.
Okay, there's four hands up.
So the resolution is adopted.
Way to go.
Let's go all on right to number two. Unless you want a door prize yet, I don't know.
No, let's do a door prize maybe after two or three.
Okay, so the next one is on the expanded core curriculum. So Guillermo or Steve, whoever's
sure. If anybody is using an app, I'm going to give you some time to switch to that app. Otherwise, you will not be able to hear this resolution.
We learn as we go, right?
Yes. Yes.
And Andrea, all of us are learning as we still, exactly. Even on day whatever this is, we're learning. So still figuring out the process as well. Okay. It's all a work in process. All right.
So assuming everybody has Zoom in focus, here we go.
Expanded Core Curriculum by Jeff Tom. Whereas the Expanded Core Curriculum, ECC, is a group of services recognized nationwide without which students with vision impairments are unlikely to successfully lead independent and productive lives. And whereas ECC services include certain services required to be provided by law, such as instruction in Braille, orientation and mobility, and the use of technology. And whereas the ECC also includes a number of services not required to be provided by school districts, including daily living skills such as cooking, cleaning, dressing, and hygiene, social skills, career development, and several others. And whereas data indicates that these skills are, for the most part, learned by sighted students through observation of their families and peers. But in the case of students who are blind or who have low vision, these skills are most often learned in a classroom setting through instruction by a teacher of the blind and visually impaired or an orientation and mobility instructor. And whereas in 2019, pursuant to Assembly Bill 947, sponsored by the California Council of the Blind, CCB, in coalition with the special education field, the ECC was inserted into state law, and school districts were permitted, but not required, to provide students with vision impairments those services not already required by law. And whereas CCB, in coalition with teachers of the blind and visually impaired, and orientation and mobility instructors, is considering introducing a bill in 2023 that would require assessment for and provision of the services in the ECC not currently mandated by law. And whereas most school districts are not providing these discretionary services, and whereas it is essential that these services be provided to K through 12 students who are blind or who have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization work to introduce and adopt legislation that would mandate assessment for and provision of expanded core curriculum services not currently mandated to be provided by law. Okay, so the committee recommends, the committee recommends a due pass, and Mr. Chair is the maker. Can I speak first briefly?
Yes, go ahead, Jeff.
So I think this is a pretty self-explanatory resolution. These are very important services, as the resolution indicates, for our, you know, students who are blind or have low vision, and we don't want to leave it up to the whims and fancies of school districts as to whether our kids are going to receive them or not. So that's what the resolution asks for, and I would hope that people will support it.
All right. Well, thank you. And I guess at this time, are there any other comments? Does anybody else have a hand up to make any comments?
We have three.
Okay. let's take those three.
I'm going to start with Anthony. Anthony, you need to unmute. I have sent you the request. There you go.
Okay, because I was told not to lower my hand. I didn't lower my hand. So, you know, I didn't want to make another confusing thing.
Sorry.
And one more comment on this. That is, you cannot give 10 seconds for objections. That was all that was given, about 10 seconds. And I don't believe that that's fair enough for people to object. You need to give at least a half minute to 45 seconds, because it takes a while for people to do what they need to do. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Anthony, your hand had actually gone down and then went back up again. So
we'd actually try to give about 30 seconds or so, Anthony. So we'll make sure that we give that.
Okay, next we have Deborah Armstrong, and you should be unmuted, Deborah.
I am, and I would like to speak about this for a minute. I haven't spoken a lot in the convention, so give me a second to marshal my thoughts. I work for a college, and I have to tell you how unprepared so many of our blind and visually impaired high school students are when they come in. We have a 112-acre campus. And I have arthritis. I can limp across campus to my various commitments. Many of my blind students are terrified to leave the building. They have never ridden the bus. I had one student who only knew how to find one restroom. And when I offered to show her another restroom, she was terrified to have me walk her down the hall to show her where it was. Many of them have very well-developed social skills, which is great, because when I was growing up, they were always talking about our lack of social skills. And I'm very, very impressed how easily they make friends and how they work really well academically. But their O&M skills, many of them cannot type. The only thing they've ever used is a Braille note. And I love the Braille devices, but they need to learn how to use screen readers and how to work with sighted folks. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. I could go on and on about this all day, but I need to get myself back on mute and not make to take forever. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Last three digits, 788, and you should be able to unmute.
This is Earl, and I think this is a great resolution. However, our state is awash in a huge amount of money. I mean, they've got a lot of bucks. It might be a good idea to put a request for funding in along with this, because that's going to be the big issue. I'm sure school districts would love to do this, but they're going to say, where's the money coming from? So the state should also provide money along with this mandate.
It's a good thing you mentioned that, Earl. Then there's a quick answer to that. When, under our state constitution, when the legislature mandates that a local agency, including a school district, do something, then the school district can automatically seek reimbursement for those costs. So in this particular type of case, what you suggest is not an issue. In fact, the issue runs the
other
way.
Okay, great.
The issue runs the other way because frequently the legislature is not willing to pass this type of a bill because it would result in costs for the school district. So that is sometimes a problem. But thank you very much for that, cogent.
Okay, thank you. Remark.
Okay, Connie Bateman, you should be unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is Connie Bateman, a former teacher of the visually impaired, and I currently serve on the ACB Special Education Task Force. And this is precisely what we're trying to work on, is to get everyone involved in the involvement of educating blind and visually impaired students to be aware of the core curriculum and the types of services that are necessary to help these students live independent lives. And a lot of it is just a matter of educating the school districts and the parents and the teachers and the support staff in the needs of these students. So I support this resolution wholeheartedly. And by the way, we're doing a series of podcasts on these different services under core curriculum. Right now we're working on podcasts related to orientation and mobility services. We've just finished our first one recently, and it is available for people to listen to on the ACB website. So thank you for this resolution, and I'll mute now.
Oh, and thank you, Connie. Okay. Thank you for sharing about the podcast. That's so interesting. Very, very cool.
And maybe since I think the last couple of people have been in favor, is there anybody that would be opposed to this that would want to speak in opposition? We want to make sure to get those, if there is any.
We have no hands.
Okay. Well, seeing no hands, what do you guys say we call for the question?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So at this time, if there's anyone opposed to this resolution, raise your hand, and only if you're opposed, and we'll give it a good 30 seconds or so. I've got 10:46:29, so we'll give it until, let's say, given until I click over to 10:47, I guess it would be. I learned from my good friend Larry to look at the question.
We have no hands.
All right, another 5 or 8 seconds here. And, all right, I showed 10:47 now, so we have given a good 30 seconds, no hands up. So this resolution is adopted. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so our next resolution, which I know Guillermo has pulled up, number 3, is a combination of resolutions submitted by Marjorie Donovan and the committee's own Steve Mendelson. This is resolution 2022-3. Resolution on Resolutions by Margie Donovan and Steve Mendelson. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, adopts resolutions at its annual convention, and whereas CCB members often do not get a follow-up report as to the status of adopted resolutions, and whereas resolutions are not consistently accompanied by a cover letter, when the resolution is directed to an entity outside of CCB. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely on this 15th day of May 2022, that this organization directs the president or their designee to ensure that a cover letter accompany all resolutions when they are directed to an entity outside of CCB, with such cover letters and their associated resolutions to be archived for permanent storage. And be it further resolved that the CCB president or their designee provide a report to the membership on actions taken and results achieved pursuant to adopted resolutions. And be it further resolved that this report be provided either at the next annual convention or such earlier time as is appropriate, except that this resolution shall not result in the disclosure of any confidential or privileged communications, including communications relating to ongoing legal negotiations. And the committee recommends a due pass.
Okay. I'm hearing an echo. I don't know if anyone else is.
So but, I think it's gone now. Nope.
Yeah, it just kind of threw me off for a second. We'll work with it. So we have a motion and a second. And thank you to Steve Mendelson and Margie Donovan for this resolution. So at this time, I guess if either of them are here and want to speak to this resolution, they can raise their hands. And I guess if there's anyone else that wishes to speak towards us, go ahead and raise your hand now too. But if we see either Margie or I don't know if Steve is here. If he is, he might be by the phone. So if we see either of them with raised hands, we'll call them. But Andrea, do we have any hands up?
Okay, Bob, you should be able to talk. You should be unmuted.
Okay, first of all, it's real quick. I remember the time when I was president and two members of the resolutions committee said, report on all resolutions, you never do, which we did. But anyway, when they did that, you know, a year ago or whenever the convention was, I finally was started saying implemented. I'm glad that they say confidentiality. Sometimes there's confidential work with the rehab director and the council. You know, we go back and forth. I thought resolutions were already archived. Number one, in my day in the old school, we did. We tried to keep them. Would the authors consider allowing the president to make a report in the blind Californian along the way? Report from headquarters. That's my question. If you're not, then okay. But I think it's great to have a record. I think it's great to respect confidentiality. But the president can, and every resolution that I wrote had a cover letter. Are you kidding? Absolutely. Why would they not? I don't understand that. But many times people don't answer them. So you say unimplemented and you got to write again and again. Thank you.
So
that helped,
Bob,
a little bit.
Bob, this resolution would not preclude that report from being in the blind Californian. Right. It isn't specific.
Okay, good. Because I think in front of Gabe did a little of it in his report this time. And I think for the whole convention to go over, you know, year old resolutions, we want to see it along the way if we can. Thank you. That's just a suggestion. Okay. Thank you.
Speak up.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Speak.
Steve here.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm just here standby in case there's any questions.
And leave him unmuted for the entire rest of the time since many of the resolutions are Steve's.
I'm not doing anything. I just lowered his hand.
Yeah, I'll leave Steve there. Do we have any other hands up?
Yes, Margie.
All right. Yeah, let's get Margie because she's the other author.
I am unmuted.
There you are.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, and Jeff actually already said it, which is the fact that this resolution does not dictate or direct the president or their designee of how and when and where to report it. It simply asks for reports.
Right. By the next annual convention or before when appropriate.
I wouldn't dare tell Gabe how to do it.
He wouldn't listen to you anyway.
Wait, you wouldn't dare tell me how to do it? Really, Margie?
That's true. I would not. There are many ways to accomplish the same task, and I'll leave it up to you since you're in that position.
As long as it's done in an appropriate way in the timeline prescribed, right?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, do we have any other hands up, Andrea?
One moment. No.
All right. So in that case, let's call for the question. All hands are down, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then at this time, if you wish to object to the adoption of this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down. And I'm looking at the time here. I've got 47 seconds, so we'll give it a good 37 seconds or so here. Did I say 37? We'll give it a good 30 seconds or so.
Maybe 30.5 or 31.5.
Maybe. Somewhere in the vicinity of
30. I was thinking 33.26.
Pie. We won the pie. Hey, what about
30.30?
There you go.
And Mr. President, after we get through this, could we ask Lisa for a door prize? I think it's time.
Yes, ma'am. That was the plan.
Woohoo!
All right. It's been over 30 seconds now. So, Andrew, do we have any hands up?
No.
Sure. All right. No. So this resolution is adopted. Thank you for that. Thank you for those authors. Thank you for that to Margie and Steve and the Resolutions Committee. So, Lisa, are you there for a door prize?
I'm here. Thanks for Sarah's little warning for me to wake up real quick.
That was what I was intending. So, there you go.
So, $25. Given by ACB Capital Chapter.
Oh, keep it in the chapter.
Our chapter of the year.
How about former chapter members?
And the winner is Frank Welty.
Oh. Hey.
All right.
Hey, Frank.
I know that guy.
I didn't hear the music that time, so.
Well, Frank doesn't care as long as he won.
Yeah, right.
So our next one is on ADA complaints, ADA assistance resolution, and it is authored by David Mandel.
And so, if David raises his hand, Andrea, you know what to do.
This is resolution 2022-4. ADA assistance resolution by David Mandel. Whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 was among the first major civil rights laws for people with disabilities in the world, and whereas the ADA marked an important milestone for people with disabilities in the United States and its territories, and whereas the ADA promised civil rights protection in employment, government services, public accommodations, transportation, financial institutions, and communications, and whereas the ADA has proved to be life-changing for millions of Americans with disabilities, and whereas despite these positive gains, the complexity and ambiguity of ADA regulations often discourages and limits an individual's ability to receive full benefit from that law. And whereas the ADA is often ineffectively administered and enforced by many federal agencies. And whereas thus it is essential that people with disabilities, including people who are blind or have low vision, file federal ADA complaints in order that this law will be appropriately enforced and applied. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization establish a task force to develop and conduct workshops on the preparing, drafting, and filing of ADA complaints, as well as on the procedures by which these complaints are required to be filed. And be it further resolved that these organizations strongly urge its members who experience discrimination or have accessibility issues to file ADA complaints with the appropriate federal agencies. And be it further resolved that this organization explore funding for an ADA complaints assistance network comprised of skilled advocates throughout the state. And be it further resolved that this organization refer this resolution to the American Council of the Blind, ACB, for consideration and exploration of this issue. And the committee Sorry. The committee recommends a do pass on this ambitious but important resolution.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. And I think I saw that we have David already. Is that
we
right?
We do.
Andrew?
We do. So, David, right. You should be unmuted.
Okay, my volume is really low. Can
you're
you
fine. Yep, you're good.
All right,
perfect.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Thank you, Andrea, for preparing me in advance.
You're no problem.
Okay, I want to say that I really appreciate the committee's work. We worked on a compromise resolution, and I want to thank all of you for that. However, I would like to briefly talk about the progression of this resolution, because I hope that it will be passed and you will support it. I don't think it goes quite far enough. And it started because I've been working with the disability and blindness communities here in the Bay Area, but also nationally on some committees. And I found over the last year or so that like 40, 50 people have said to me at various times, you know, the ADA doesn't adequately serve its purpose. We really need to update it and amend it for the 21st century. And I thought, that's an interesting idea. Could it be done? And so I spoke with a number of people and decided to write a resolution to that effect and got some support from a few members here and some suggestions. Jeff explained to me that he would probably oppose that resolution. And I understand why, because the leadership of the disability and blindness communities feel at this time that would not be good timing. Start asking for to amend and update the law, because the Supreme Court and other right wing groups would love to do more anything, but you know, short of killing it, and we all know what the Supreme Court has done to it already, and that's very valid, and I respect that. However, I will say that Martin Luther King didn't stop. The African community faced many threats and still continues to do so today, but they won their civil rights. So I feel that the leadership needs to talk to the communities that they represent and listen to the will of the people, both nationally and statewide. But I decided we would take another tack and urge people to file ADA complaints, because we just don't file enough of them. And I suggested exploring the idea of forming ADA complaint assistance networks, both on the statewide and nationally. And again, it was felt that we don't have enough resources, which we probably don't, to do that here, you know, with the CCB. Hello?
Yeah, we hear you, David. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody. And so basically, I said, why don't we refer this then to the ACB so that they can suggest, you know, look into the development of an ADA assistance network. And then we came up with the idea, well, we should train people to file complaints, and which I agree. We should, you know, consider the idea of providing workshops, both on a state level and a national level. But I also felt that there would be members who would expect to receive assistance. And I still feel strongly that there will be many of our members who would like assistance, because the process is arduous at this point and fairly difficult and intricate. But I would say that this resolution is important, that we need to file more complaints. And I hope that we can establish a workshop or provide a couple of workshops and train some of our members. And that I hope that you will pass this resolution.
Thank you. Hey, thanks, David. And let's go ahead and leave David unmuted for this discussion. Are there any other hands up, Andrea?
Yes, Bob Acosta. And I believe, Bob, you are unmuted.
Yes, I am. Thank you. And I'm glad. Let me say first, since the loss of our wonderful Ken Metz, at least in Southern California, we have had no advocate. Where do we go if we have ADA complaints and CCB? Where do we go if we have Social Security complaints and ACB? I hear all kinds of answers. Respectfully, I hear them say, they call Nicole. And she'll refer. That's a big job for Nicole. I'm a hysterical blind person. I want the advocate right now. So David, I hope the next one will be other areas of Social Security and stuff. We need workshops. We need training. We need to know how to do it. And we have Zoom. And I think you're very progressive. Maybe we've found our new advocate to replace, if it's possible, Ken Metz. Had you put Supreme Court in it, I would have voted. I will vote no. I do not trust them. I want nothing in their hands at this time, ladies and gentlemen. So I would vote no, even though this is truly what the California Council of the Blind is all about, a very progressive resolution. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, we have Dirk, and I believe you are unmuted. Dirk, please go ahead.
I'm just concerned about the prospect of enriching lawyers with frivolous lawsuits and giving the blind community a bad name. And point one, point two, the Department of Justice has a disability hotline, and if you have a complaint, you can talk to them, and if they find merit in your idea, they will pursue it by themselves. You don't have to hire a lawyer.
Dirk, let me respond to both of those. First, the frivolous lawsuits are being filed right now, including by blind people who are working with these, you know, attorneys who are in the, whose goal is to make money.
Like people who are not coming to CCB.
No, they are not CCB lawsuits, but we hear about them, believe me. Right. And we have no, we're no more in favor of that than you are. In terms of the hotline, part of the problem with just giving information via that hotline is a lot of times complaints need documentation to go anywhere. If you file something over a hotline, it's just as likely that they're going to say, well, we can't decide one way or the other, so, you know, if you want to go ahead and do something, you know, go ahead. But, you know, I don't think that just filing something via a hotline is sufficient in many, many instances. Nor do I think that the people who we would hope to use in helping people file these complaints are going to be doing it for frivolous reasons. So I am not worried about that outcome from this resolution as the chair, as the co-chair anyway.
Thanks.
Okay, Deborah Armstrong.
You should be able to hear me now.
Yes, ma'am.
Again.
Okay, I don't know why the button didn't take the first time, but here I am. I think this is such a good idea. I work at a college. I provide accessible materials for students. They often will call me when they go to another school and complain that they're not getting their accessible materials and ask me to produce accessible materials for them. And I always tell them to please document their complaints, but so many people are not trained in the ADA. In the 1970s, the Center for Independent Living got a grant to train people all across the country in Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. I was one of those trainers. And what was really interesting is after all those trainings, we saw a lot more OCR complaints filed. And yes, some of them were frivolous lawsuits, but you get that with any sort of law. You're always going to get frivolous lawsuits. You can't make them go away. But the thing is now schools take 504 very seriously because of that training, because so many people filed complaints, legitimate complaints. So absolutely, we need these workshops. Thank you. I'm back on mute.
And thank you, Debbie, thanks, for Debbie. Saying that it's worked before in the past. That's very helpful to know. Thank you.
Okay, let me ask David. You have your hand up, but I did not mute you. So if you want to speak, please go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I've called the DOJ hotline, and I also talked to people at the Pacific Technical Center. Every region has a technical center, and DREDA sponsors these Disability Rights Education Defense Fund. And they have both told me that, yes, we really need to train people and to get more people on board with these complaints and to help people learn to document. And I don't know what the answer is as far as documenting, because that is the biggest problem I think that people face. They just either can't do it, won't do it, or whatever. But as far as the frivolous lawsuits are concerned, there's not much we can do about that. But I would say that most of the complaints that we will find as a result of those of our workshops will not be frivolous. I'm positive. Thank you very much for considering this resolution. And again, thank you so much to the committee.
Okay, next we have Margie. And Margie, you should be unmuted.
I certainly should thank be, you, am dear. I?
Yep.
Thank you. I have a couple things to say here. First of all, I called the ADA hotline on Thursday to confirm that what I thought was correct. The ADA hotline never assists people in filing a complaint. They will send you the form, they will send you the process, etc. So it is up to us as individuals to file complaints. The other thing that is very valuable in filing a complaint is, as already mentioned, but cannot be emphasized enough, is documentation. So it's hard to file a complaint on one minor incident, but it's easy if it's a major incident. I am current, and during this conference, I specifically asked Andrew from DRC if he would be willing to work with us to put on a transportation workshop, because what's the biggest thing we get complaints about is paratransit. I also want to say I, along with Becky Davidson at ACB level, we are working on a process right now individually and putting it out to guide dog networks, because GDUI has not elected to pick this up. But we are putting together a packet, and we're going to reach out to people and help them document their Uber, their Lyft, and we are going to push for a whole bunch of complaints being pushed in at one time directly to OCR per my friend Ron. And I have the address directly to OCR. And I just want to add this part. I would be delighted to be a part of anything that moves forward here, including being one to help people, to be a mentor in how to file a complaint. And that's all. Thank you. I will go back on mute, as Debbie says.
All right. Thanks, Margie. And do we have any other hands up, Andrea?
Okay, we've got three hands. One of them is Dirk, and I know he's been called on already, so I'm going to go with Sheila right now. And Sheila, you should be unmuted.
Yes, I am. I was just waiting. Two quick things. One is, I think that, you know, this is an organization of the blind and visually impaired, but a lot of us have other disabilities. I think we should be prepared for that. I don't know exactly what I mean, but I think we can talk in general enough terms that maybe we can deal with other things as well. Actually, there are three. The second thing is, I want to work on at the DOJ level, at the state OCR level, at the federal OCR level, get these folks to understand it doesn't have to be in print, because that's, when I get the print, I just, my brain stops. But I've done a few, and but doing the documentation can be really overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be if you do it as it's moving along. But that is training, and maybe I'm bold enough to be a mentor. I don't know, but I stand behind Margie in everything else she said. I just don't know if I'm brave enough for that. I'm done. Thanks.
Thanks,
thank
Sheila.
You, as always.
And I think I heard that Joshua is next.
Okay. Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, this is, for some people, it's pretty basic, but what I wanted to suggest is, if you have an issue with Uber or Lyft or paratransit or whatever, whenever it happens, whatever the issue is or whatever happens, on the day that it happens, go to your computer or your laptop and sit down and write the date that it happened and a description of what happened and your experience of it. And if it's an ongoing process, continue to write down what happened, the date, and your experience. And that creates a record that actually can sometimes be used in court to document that your experience is real. And I wanted to just say that that's a basic way that people who are visually impaired can create documentation of their experience and their issues if they need to use them in the future.
Great, great point. Thank you, Joshua.
And to Sheila's, I think it's Sheila's point, you know, really anybody with any disability or ADA violation type stuff. So good point. Thanks, Joshua. Andrea, how many more hands do we have up?
Right now, the only person is, oh my goodness, I don't want to say because I keep changing. We have three, and Stephanie is unmuted. And okay. If you want to let her go ahead.
Let's take those three, okay. And then see, and then probably call the question after that.
Okay. Stephanie, go ahead. You should be unmuted.
Good morning, everyone. And I know you all and you know me. So we've got that out of the way.
good to get it out of the way at the beginning. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Stephanie.
You know, I got to keep it a little light on a Sunday morning. But I only wanted to comment that I thank you, David, for putting forth this resolution, and I stand in support and, of course, echo the sentiments of those who've gone before me in support of the resolution. So thank you again, and I'm going on mute.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay. We have Dirk, and he's the last one. So, Dirk, you should be able to unmute.
Hi, Dirk Nyhart again. Sorry, but I want to know if CCB will file an amicus brief on a lawsuit filed by one of our members about an ADA event.
So, Dirk, that's really not an appropriate item for discussion at this point in time. This is a resolution. If you want to talk to Gabe or me or whatever about a specific thing, let's do that offline.
Why is it not appropriate? Because we are inviting our members to file lawsuits.
Dirk, are you asking about a specific lawsuit, or are you asking if a member got into a position of having an ADA violation?
If any one of our members follows the resolution...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Right.
So what I would say to that, Dirk, is we would take it on a case-by-case basis, and if one of our members has an ADA issue, violation issue that comes up, then, yeah, I would say CCB would probably support them, but yeah, that's something that we would take up as those cases arise, and, you know, hopefully CCB would have been involved in assisting the person, up to prior and up to the point of filing the violation. So,
and we've signed on to briefs before, as Guillermo can attest. So, you know, we've done it before.
Thanks to Gabe, thanks to David, and thanks to the resolution committee. Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Dirk. Okay. And is that it for the hands we had up there, Andrea?
I believe so. Hold on just a minute.
Linda.
Yes. Oh, go ahead, Linda.
Do we not have to raise our hands on the panel side?
No. On the panel side.
No, just butt in whenever you want. No, just kidding.
Okay. So here we go. We have created a process for people to object to a resolution on the one hand. On the other hand, we want to avoid dead air while we do a countdown for objecting to a resolution. So what I'd like to urge my friends is to try to restrain a little bit of the silliness and the disrespect during the allotted time for people to object, because some people have trouble raising their hands and what have you. I don't know if we can do the Jeopardy theme or recite the Pledge of Allegiance, but it's a little silly to throw those numbers around and a little disrespectful. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure I fully understand that, but okay. So do we have any other hands up, or are we ready
for the question on this? We do not.
Okay. So we will call the question. So raise your hand only if you object to the adoption of this resolution. Otherwise, leave your hands down.
No hands.
Okay. We'll give it 30 seconds or so here.
No hands.
A few more seconds. All right, so it's been 30 seconds plus here, and hearing that there are no hands up, we will declare that resolution adopted.
Okay, we're on number thank five.
Thank you, David, for that one. It's a big one, but important, like Jeff said. So, Jeff, on to number five.
Yes, number five is by Steve Mendelson. It's the role of the State Attorney General in access advocacy. Resolution 2022-5 by Steve Mendelson, role of the State Attorney General in access advocacy. Whereas, in addition to the in-house counsel that advise and assist state agencies in carrying out their responsibilities, these agencies are represented by the California Attorney General, AG, when civil rights suits or complaints are lodged against them. And whereas, as a result, the AG's office plays a key role in access to electronic information and in all civil rights litigation involving the state. And whereas, with respect to litigation involving the civil rights of many marginalized groups, the AG has taken a proactive approach to the protection of civil rights when advising the state agencies that it represents. And whereas CCB has been a party to numerous negotiations with state agencies in which the AG has been involved. And whereas it is CCB's experience that despite its demonstrated commitment to other marginalized and legally protected groups, the AG does not appear to take a proactive stance in advising state agencies concerning their responses to litigation as to their need to follow state and federal laws that protect the rights of people with disabilities, including people who are blind or who have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled virtually this 15th day of May 2022, that the CCB president initiate direct contact with the Attorney General's office at the highest possible level, pursuant to a letter to which other like-minded organizations shall be urged to become signatories. And be it further resolved that this letter strongly urge the AG, when advising state agencies with respect to their responsibilities to litigation against the state, to take a proactive role in supporting positions that uphold the rights guaranteed under state and federal law to people with disabilities, including people who are blind or have low vision, including accessibility to electronic information. Okay, and the committee recommends a do pass.
Thanks, Jeff. And I think I see Judy's name here. So does that mean Steve unmuted?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer some background. As many of you may know, the pattern that we frequently, I say almost universally encounter, is an attempt by state agencies when complained of or sued with respect to accessibility issues to drag the matter out as long as possible. It's fairly predictable in many of these cases what the outcome will be. It's pretty predictable as a matter of law what the outcome should be. And yet they drag it out for months and years. We've had numerous examples of that recently. The Attorney General is representing the state agencies in all of these cases, and it should be taking a proactive stance, urging them to resolve the case quickly and in a manner which is consistent with state law. It's not as if there's a great dispute about what state law is here, but yet it does not appear to do so. It tends rather to passively accept and support the agency's positions, which is one of delay, almost delay for its own sake.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Before we go to hands, I just want to alert our Madam Door Prize that after we vote for this, I'd like to have us do another door prize. So just so that you're ready, Lisa. Andrea, do we have any other hands up?
Gabe, this is Livy.
Yeah, hi, Livy.
She didn't call me, but Steve, could you give an example of what this is really talking about?
Sure. Right now, for example, we're in negotiations pursuant to the filing of a suit some years ago with the California State Department of Healthcare Services over a very key issue, which is the accessibility of individualized Medi-Cal communications between the state and the Medi-Cal recipients. That's obviously accessibility is a huge issue. There's no dispute in anybody's mind what the law is and what the outcome should be. But the state has dragged this out for years, literally for years. I need only say that it's over 30 years since the ADA was enacted. It hasn't been quite that long this lawsuit has been going on, but it makes jaundice versus jaundice look quaint.
I can give another example too, both in past litigation, when I was president, and in current litigation under Gabe's leadership, the State Department of Parks and Recreation has done similar things. So there's many examples.
And just last year, we had a resolution about the same issue with respect to the California Arts Council.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Livy. And I see a couple here, but I think I saw Dirk's phone number before I saw Bob here. So, Dirk, do you have a question?
No, thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I saw you on the list here. I think I see Bob Acosta.
Yes, this is written by a good lawyer. So I usually use them when I want some good stuff written. Is this only access, Steve? And let me expand, if I may. As you know, Los Angeles City, if you don't, I'll tell you, LA City College would not provide accommodations for two blind people. And we got the lieutenant governor, for example, of California to sign saying, you know, don't act that way. They were trying to argue unintentional discrimination, and it would have gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court might have thrown out the ADA. Fortunately, because of the tremendous support of the CCB and other disability groups, the trustees voted not to go to the Supreme Court. Is that the kind of case, or are we just talking about access, please? Thank you.
No, no, it's broad. Oh, sorry, Steve. I didn't know you were there.
Go ahead, Jeff, if you want.
Access is very broad. Access to information, okay. Access to communication, access to, you know, in the whole broad spectrum.
So it's access.
Yes.
It's
not, it is access, but that kind of case would definitely fall under access, the way we're defining it. Because
they didn't give them accommodation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly.
Because the AG doesn't do enough for us. That's it. Thank you. I'm done.
Bob, the only limitation here would be that this is specifically directed at matters in which the AG has a formal role, such as the cases involving complaints or suits against state entities where the AG is representing them. So that would be the only limitation of this resolution. The spirit of the resolution, of course, goes much further. And as Jeff has already said, access here is a very broad concept. We're not concerned only, for example, with electronic information access. We're concerned with any kind of access.
I'm for this all the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
We have no hands at the moment. I was muted. My apologies.
Okay. Okay. That's okay.
Don't have.
Yeah, anybody. I wasn't hearing you there, so that's why I was trying.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
No, I was kind of look at the list of who was getting unmuted. So
yeah, no.
Kind of working together there.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Yeah, okay. And I think we're ready to call the question on this. Andrew, if you can make sure before we do that all hands are down. And so at this point, only if you object to the adoption of this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down and we'll give it a good 30 seconds or so here.
No hands so far.
Okay, so we'll give it a bit here. Another 15 seconds or so.
Still no hands.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we give folks time. Okay. I think we're over 30 seconds. We will declare this resolution adopted. And so before we move on to resolution number 6, Lisa, let's do a door prize if we may.
Okay.
Because we like giving away money on Sunday mornings.
And we have a lot of money to give away too.
That's right.
$25 Amazon gift card given by, okay. Let's spin. And the winner is Shelby Felter. Congratulations, Shelby.
All right.
Congratulations. I do not know Shelby.
I know who she is.
That's three.
I think I know who she is. I believe she's
I need to know who you are one of these days.
I believe she's in the Greater Long Beach chapter.
Ah, very, very cool.
So, yeah, so I think I was there on maybe her first meeting, if it's who I'm thinking of. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. And so we'll play the resolution.
Resolution 2022-6, housing accessibility. Whereas housing has become a chronic, long-standing crisis in California, and whereas this condition acutely affects people who are blind or have low vision, as well as seniors and persons with other disabilities, whereas this housing shortage is exacerbated for people who are blind or have low vision by various issues, including, but not limited to, 1. Inaccessibility of platforms, including websites, documents, program procedures, and applications, used by local housing authorities and other public housing agencies, as well as by private developers and management companies, to implement Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD-funded programs. 2. The lack of sufficient housing that meets the accessibility needs of people who are blind or have low vision in areas such as lighting, stair striping, accessible operating controls, and talking or labeled appliances and facilities. 3. Rules imposed by homeless shelters that result in the exclusion of many individuals who are blind or have low vision from the receipt of homeless shelter services, and that thus impact the broader ability of these persons to receive wraparound services necessary to end the cycle of homelessness. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that within 90 days of the adoption of this resolution, the CCB president shall create a housing committee, which shall include members who have personal or professional experience in the affected programs, to coordinate CCB's response to the concerns raised in this resolution. And be it further resolved that this committee shall, within 120 days of its appointment, submit to the CCB Board of Directors for its approval a detailed advocacy plan, including short-term and long-term actions, with the most immediate priority to be given to determining steps to bring about local and state compliance in HUD-funded voucher programs. And be it further resolved that this organization enable the committee to receive training from entities or individuals who have knowledge, expertise, and experience that will enhance the committee's ability to further the goals of this resolution. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be submitted to the Resolutions Committee of the American Council of the Blind for consideration during the ACB 2022 conference and convention. The committee recommends a do pass on this very important issue.
Okay.
I hope everybody was taking notes there with the quiz at the end of this. That was a long one. I wrote this, and Frank Welty contributed greatly. David Mandel, Joshua Saunders, and all the folks from the San Francisco Chapter Advocacy Committee. And I have known that housing has been a serious issue for the blind since 1998. And I did a housing hunt for a year and a third, where I filled out 50 applications, and almost all of them were inaccessible. Now that COVID-19 has happened, a lot of stuff has gone online, but it's still inaccessible. And I think that that needs to change. And I'm also thinking that on a separate track, I'm working on legal stuff about it. One of those lovely complaints of the ADA we've been mentioning. So that's all I have for now, but I will stick around.
Okay, and Frank is unmuted.
Yep.
Thank you. I just want to add that I want to express my appreciation to Sheila for raising this important issue. It's not a new issue, but it's one that's needed to be addressed. And this resolution represents a very healthy, vigorous dialogue that took place in the Resolutions Committee in order to balance the urgency of this issue, along with the short-term and long-term capacity of CCB to resolve it. And I think we've come up with a good solution here that I hope everybody will support. I think that many of our members, especially those who are most vulnerable, particularly need the work that will come about because of this resolution.
And I want to thank the Resolutions Committee, because we worked like dogs on this. We did.
Okay. And
all right.
And we have Dirk. I think Dirk is unmuted.
Yes, I share that thought, like to thank the Resolution Committee for all this hard work. I have just one little piece of wordsmithing. It says that committee should be people who have experience, or experience being homeless, or experience helping the homeless. I would like the committee to include any CCB member.
If I understand your question right, will that include any CCB members? It better. It's a
well,
CCB,
yeah. No,
it's a CCB committee.
It but just says it will include people with personal or professional experience in the affected programs, but that doesn't mean that it has to be someone who has that experience.
But
just must include
it. It does not say that any member is.
Yes, it does. Dirk, I don't mean to dispute you, but what it says is that the committee shall include, didn't say that it had to be limited to, but it has to include people with personal or professional experience. But all CCB members are eligible for committees. That's the way it's always been.
That's in our CCB bylaws that it's going to be CCB members, and that we do have the ability, if needed, to go outside of CCB, and we can include non-CCB members if they have the expertise that would add to the committee. But it will, I would say, would definitely include CCB members on the committee.
Okay.
So what I pictured when we said personal or professional experience with these housing programs is, and this is not limited to, but if you've lived in a HUD voucher program like Section 8 or one of the project-based voucher programs, or if you have worked a lot with folks blind and otherwise who are trying to get through this ridiculous housing process, and you have enough experience to say, you know, this worked, this didn't, we need this, we don't need that. That's who we want in the committee. And if you have some stuff you want to add, you would apply whenever that application comes out to be in the committee. And I would want you there. I've known you for ages, and I hope you come if you think you want to be there.
Okay. Do we have any other?
Yes, we have Margie.
Any other folks?
And Margie, right. You're unmuted.
Go ahead, Margie.
Let's try Anthony, because shall we try Anthony?
Sure, let's try Anthony.
Okay, Anthony.
Okay. I think this is an excellent suggestion or resolution, and I'd be more than willing to serve on any kind of committee about housing. And I also want to say that you guys are doing a great job for a very, very difficult kind of thing to do. Thanks.
Okay, Margie. Thanks,
Anthony. And some of this passes, send me an email so that we can have that on there and get your name added to the folks that want to be on the committee.
So, will do.
Thanks.
Okay, I guess that Margie would go for two.
Showing us unmuted.
Margie, unless you think this is going to impact the passage of this resolution, I think we ought to go ahead and vote. I think there's overwhelming support for this, I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
Yeah, and if it's comments maybe about the implementation of it, which is what a lot of these have been, definitely reach out to me, Jeff, Sarah, after the convention, and we'll take your thoughts on. So, Andrea, are there any new hands up?
No hands.
Okay.
If you still have an email address, you should email Gabe too if you want to be on that committee.
Right. So, okay. So with no other hands up, we will go to voting. So at this time, only raise your hand if you are opposed to the adoption of this resolution. Otherwise, leave your hands down. We'll give it another good 30 seconds here. Okay.
Nobody.
Okay. Another 15-ish seconds.
I agree with Anthony, though. If I'm not right near my phone when you make that call to object, if I want to object, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes
Sheila. Hold on, Sheila.
No hands.
Yeah. Sorry, we're trying to keep the chatter down during the calling for voting so people can hear their phones. All right. We've had about 40 seconds here, so we will declare this resolution adopted.
And I thank you. And as I said, sometimes if different people are speaking or screen share turns off or whatever, we refresh the screen, we have to find the button again and all that. So, I appreciate the longer time. All right, folks. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Sheila.
Good one.
Thanks, Sheila. So,
Dave, we have a hand raised. I don't know if it's about voting. It just went up.
Okay. Well, yes, since it went up after the voting, who's the hand?
Last three numbers, 505.
There's Margie.
Okay. Go ahead, Margie.
You should. Thank you. I don't know what's going on my computer, so I'm going to the phone.
Margie by phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we ma'am.
Yeah, my phone. I'm done with the computer. It wasn't germane to the vote, but it's germane to a previous conversation we had. And housing issues do not fall under ADA. Housing issues fall under HUD or Department of Fair Employment and Housing. I always encourage people to go to HUD. DFEH is a little bit shady, in my opinion, when it comes to issues outside of employment. But I just want to, Sheila, if you're going to take action, you need to file your complaint with HUD, please. Thank you. That's all. Bye.
Yeah, Margie, that is not completely correct. There can be, because they're not all HUD programs. And there can be instances where an ADA issue can come up that are like fair housing issues are under the Fair Housing Act, and that would, you know, and then so there, all these laws do have some areas of concern in different areas of the housing sphere.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, pinpoint where it fits, and it may fit in more than one, you know, to be honest. And I'm learning more of that as we're doing training with that at work. But yeah, thank you, Jess.
Okay. I have seen HUD complaints filed on non-HUD housing. There was a huge guide dog discrimination case in Daly City years ago, and it wasn't HUD housing. So
that's correct. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
So it's not restricted to HUD housing, HUD complaints is all I'm saying. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Margie.
We have one more hand that went up after the vote. Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, you may speak.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you, Kathy.
Great. I appreciate Linda's comment previously in regards to asking for the silence during the time that people could object. I think that's very respectful for those that may be wanting to object. And I'd also like to ask that going forward to continue that practice, in addition to not commenting on if anybody's raised their hand or not until the time is up. So that those that are objecting have the time to quietly implement it themselves, and there is no feeling of pressure or influence in regards to raising their hand. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that comment, actually, Kathy, because I think we really don't want anything said until the whole vote is taken. I would agree.
All right. Thank you. Any other hands up there, Andrea, before we move on?
One moment. I was following what Penny had done the other night, so I will remember that. Thank you, Kathy. No hands raised.
Okay. Lisa, before we move on, how many more door prizes do we have for today?
We have two more. And then one, a big one, really big surprise.
All right. So let's do one now, and then we'll do another one here in a little bit.
Okay. So this one is a $25 Amazon gift card given by CCB.
I know them.
And the winner is Laura Lee Kasner. Congratulations.
Hey, I know her.
Hey.
All right. Really good from her last night. All right, Jeff, you are on for a live reading of a resolution. Wow, kind of a throwback to old days.
So I have number 8 first, and then we'll do number 7. So, resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention Assembled this 15th day of May, or Convention Assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization thanks the CCB Convention Committee and those who assisted it for their work in making this convention a resounding success. And the committee, the Resolutions Committee, recommends a pass.
the resolution committee embodied by Jeff.
Pretty good.
All right. Do we have any comments on that, our resolution? Do we have any hands up, Andrea?
We do not.
Okay. Hearing no hands, and let's just move to a vote. And I agree with that resolution. The Convention Planning Committee did put in a lot of long hours on this. So so we definitely thank them. All right. So at this time, if you wish to object to this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down. And I'll give it 30 seconds or so. Another 15 seconds-ish. All right, that's been a good 30 seconds there, so we will declare that resolution adopted. Thank you.
So the old expression, that was supported hands down, really does apply.
Oh, no. Oh, but, you have the ability to kick him off of the panelists.
You know, Rob, that is one of those that if I was over
Gosh.
A panel, I would have been charged $1 for that.
Wow. Guillermo has the power.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there absolutely he does. And I think it should be a resolution.
Okay, this is our final one, and if anybody objects to this, well, I don't know what to say.
I'll throw anybody off that objects.
There you go.
Right.
This
not
is
if
20...
I don't beat you to it.
Yeah, that's right. 2022-7, volunteers. Resolved by the California Council of the Blind, a convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization extends its heartfelt appreciation to all the volunteers who helped make this convention a resounding success, and be it further resolved that, to the extent possible, each and every volunteer be provided with a copy of this resolution. And of course, we're talking not about all the CCB members who did such a fantastic job, but about our the folks from outside the organization who helped us with this convention, like the women from Sac State the other day, as an example.
All right. Even though
the committee recommends a do pass, even though they didn't ultimately,
even though we didn't do voting, they did a lot of preparation to get ready for the process, and we're standing by if needed. So.
And they were all really right. Ready this year, really ready.
They were. We had a good team there ready. All right, Andrea, do we have any hands up?
We do not.
Wanting to comment. All right. So at this time, if you wish to object to this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down for the next 30 seconds or so. We'll give time. Another 10 or 15 seconds here. All right. So, unless we have any hands that have popped up there, Andrea, I will declare that resolution adopted.
We do not. Go ahead.
Okay. So thank you, everybody. That's the end of our resolutions, correct, Jeff?
So except that we need, and Sarah, maybe you can ask for this motion, we need a motion to accept the resolutions committee report.
So move.
Second.
All right. We got a motion from Guillermo. We got a second from Rob. So if anyone out there in the universe objects, go ahead and raise your hand. And Andrea, do we have any raised hands?
We do not.
All right, then we will take that as the resolutions committee that our report has been accepted and our work is done for 2022. So woohoo!
Hey.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Okay, Gabe, I'm sorry. Dirk just put his hand up.
Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Dirk.
Okay, Dirk, go ahead. You may, you're unmuted.
Thank you. Couldn't get my 2 cents in. I have two thank you resolutions that I could not present to the resolution committee, so bad Dirk, but I think they are timely always to say thank you. And I want to have a resolution every year to say thank you to some O&M teacher, doctor, lawyer who has helped a blind person. We should have, I think that should be a standing practice. That's one. And my second resolution would be say thank you to the blind union for the blind musician in Singapore who got blind musicians all over the world to present the 10-hour concert for the World Blind Union, and send that resolution off to the World Blind Union.
Well, the first one, that might be one for the awards committee could take up next year if there's any...
Well, next year.
Yeah, that it could do for that.
It would be writing on papyrus. This happened 3 months ago. And, Ukraine still be a hot issue in our hearts and minds.
Well, the board can look at these things too. Yeah. Gabe. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, so these are things that we can look at going forward. Thanks, Dirk. You. Okay, so next up we have we usually have any other committee reports, time permitting, but it is after 12 o'clock. So unless there's any urgent reports, I would propose that that what we'd do is if there's any committees that want to make any kind of reports, that you come talk to me and we can have those maybe at board meetings going forward. And I think that's something that would be a good practice moving forward, is maybe every month or every couple of months we can have a committee report made at the board meetings to hear what various committees are doing. Is there any objection from anyone to that proposal? All right. Well, hearing none, and then Miss Andrea interrupts and tells me that there's any hands going up, then we'll work on doing that going forward. No. So next item is there any old business to come before the convention?
Okay, Sheila has her hand raised. One moment. Okay, Sheila, you should be.
Sorry, this wasn't old business, but I wanted to get in before the thing ended. What I wanted to ask Gabe is when will the resolutions that we have forwarded to ACB be heard, since the resolutions committee there has already started? Could we get some
noise? I don't have an idea on that yet, Sheila. I need to get the final copy of these resolutions and slot them in. It will probably, at this point, I would have to guess, maybe be sometime next month.
Okay. I just don't want to miss
it. It's not going to be, I can guarantee you it's not going to be this week. It'll be, very least next week, or probably more likely, like I said, sometime in June. But I will definitely make sure that you get notice once we have an idea of when that's going to be heard.
Great. And I think I'm not the only one that's going to want that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so, next we have Margie. And Margie, you are unmuted.
I am unmuted. Thank God for a telephone. I'm not sure if this is new or old, so I'm just going to do it anyway. And in our emails, et cetera, we were given the link to join Zoom, and then it said one tap, but there was no one tap. So I would hope in the future, whoever's sending out this information, when they do a one tap, that they know how to do a one tap so that we can really, it's actually called a two tap, in my opinion, but that would have made it a whole lot easier for those of us using a mobile phone. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Yeah. So I guess if we're mixing old and new business here, is there any other business to be brought before the convention?
In the spirit of what Margie just brought forward, Gabe, if I may, if you have any similar type comments that are directly related to convention, if you would email those to convention.ccb@gmail.com. Or you can call me. My phone number's on the website, or I'm sure you can get it from lots of folks. That would be perfect. That way we can, start keeping track of all of those things. And Margie, I've written that down. Thank you, Gabe.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay. We all do right. have a phone number who is unmuted. Last three digits, 610.
I know my own number. Duh.
Yes, but we don't. Hello, Pam.
Yes, you do. You better. It's only three of us to use 818. Good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to say thank you for a good convention. It was busy. It was long, and I listened to all the resolutions. They were great. Since I serve on the convention committee for the first time this year, it's a lot of work. I had a great time, and we'll continue doing it. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Pam. Okay. Anyone else to bring any business before the convention?
Pampology has her hand raised. One moment.
Okay.
Okay, Pam, you should be able to unmute. There you go.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify. Sorry, I'm having a really hard time with my lungs. But I just want to clarify for people that don't know that when Andrea or whatever host list the area code and last three digits of the number, it's not because you don't know your number. It's so that you can be identified as the one that's going to speak next. So be kind. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Thanks, Pam. Excuse me, Pam. Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much.
Any other business?
No.
Do we have any hands? Okay. No. So this time then, before we conclude all of our activities here, festivities, that's what I was looking for. Before we conclude today's festivities, Lisa, I believe we have one more door prize. Is that right?
We have two more. Three, actually three more.
Well, two more and then a big surprise, right?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. So let's do the couple of door prizes.
Okay, so first one we're doing $25 Amazon gift card given by Bayview Chapter. And the winner is Joshua Sanders.
I know him. All right, congratulations, Joshua.
And then the last one is $25 Amazon card given by ACB Capital Chapter. And the winner is John Gassman. Congratulations, John.
Oh, that guy. I think I know him.
Thank you.
We knew him. And he's here. Yay, John.
And thank you, John, for being our streamer today.
Glad to do it.
All right. I think you did our Sunday session last year too. And is that the end of our regular door prizes, Lisa?
That is the end of our regular door prizes. All and right. I'm shuffling the wheel really good right now for this last
one. And do you want to tell what this last one is? And this one actually has a name too, huh?
I don't know if it really has an official name, but
it's the golden.
We're calling it the golden door.
Okay, so the golden door prize is $150 gift card of your choice. So wow. Nicole or I will reach out to this winner to find out where you would like the gift card issued from, and then provide it to you in whichever way you'd like. So $150 is on the line right now. Mm. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Hey.
I think I've shuffled it about 20 times. Okay. So let's go. And the winner of $150 is Mike Keithley.
Congratulations.
Hey, all right. We all know that.
We do. We do. We do. We do. Indeed.
I'll tell you, there were an inordinate number of Silicon Valley Chapter winners this weekend. One might begin to wonder.
Uh-oh,
it's
fixed.
One
might. I think what that
rigged, rigged, rigged,
rigged.
What that shows is that there was a large number of Silicon Valley Chapter members that registered,
right.
Which is right. Fabulous.
If it was, I can guarantee you most of Fresno would be on the list of winners.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Go ahead. Sarah, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to remind folks that both the, there's two more things. We still have some post-convention on Tuesday at 7:30, so that's the 17th. We have the playing of the Country of the Blind, as we gave a teaser for on Friday. And so if you're interested in that, again, you can email. If you're not, you know, part of any of our list and you want that link, convention.ccb@gmail.com. And then also on Wednesday night, we do have our scholarship committee. If you're interested in learning more about CCB scholarships and what other winners have done with them, as well as more about what the committee does, please join in on that. And that's going to be on the 18th. I just wanted to put the plug in that we're not completely done. We still got post-convention.
All right. But as for our main convention event, I think that's a wrap at 12:17.
All right.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for attending. And
thanks, guys. Thanks
for having me. Have a good rest of your Sunday. We'll hopefully see folks again on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings for post-convention fun.
Yeah.